Body. Come on, praise the Lord, everybody. Yes, sir. I think we ought to just give him another hand clap of praise this morning. Come on, can we do that from the very bottom of our heart today? Come on, does anybody in this place just love Jesus with everything that is within you? Come on, 110% of your being is absolutely head over heels in love with Jesus Christ. I wonder if we could, I know we've been standing this morning, but I wonder if we could give him a standing ovation of praise and glory and honor in this house today. Come on, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, look at your neighbor and say, me. My soul cries out, hallelujah. Praise God. Look over at him, say, praise God for saving me. Come on, I'm in love with Jesus this morning. What about you? Come on, we're here. We made the effort to get here. We might as well throw everything aside and kick back and have a little church. What do you think? Come on, Jesus is in this place. Jesus is in this house. And I still am of the persuasion that where he is, anything and everything is possible. I think I have two or three that believe just that today. Amen, amen. I want to join in with Andretta today and say thank you for allowing my great friend to go to the beach and kick back and work on his tan this week. Amen. I pastored for close to 10 years, and the congregation that I pastored did not like it when I was out of town. They just did not like me leaving on the weekends. In fact, the first 5 years that I pastored, I never was gone on the weekend. And I honestly thank you for allowing that great man of God that he's blessed you with to go out and take his family and have a wonderful week of vacation and relax, get rejuvenated and revived and refreshed. And I promise you, Pastor Darrell's going to be in this house next Sunday morning preaching the powerful word of God as only he can do. I promise you that. Thank you so much for just blessing my good friend and just supporting him as you have. Amen. But I want to go right into the word of the Lord if I can. I saw a post on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, and Pastor Darrell made the statement. He typed out he was going to do his best to preach 30 minutes, and how many people thought that he could preach 30 minutes. I never checked and see what he did or how he did, but I'm going to do my dead level best today to try to get one up on him if I can. What about you? Think I can do it? You said, God, I hope so. Amen, amen. Why don't we go right into the word of the Lord today? Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're going to begin reading here. 1 Kings. Now, you have to forgive me. I start fast sometimes. I'm trying to slow down so I can read. But I tell you, when I get in the presence of God, I don't know how else to explain it. I'm just like a cat on crack, man. I just can't wait to see what happens next. I just about jump out of my skin, man. You know, there's no telling what God's going to do in this house. Come on. There's no telling what God's about to do in this place. Does anybody still believe that God is a miracle-working God? Come on, I believe that today. 1 Kings chapter 17, I'm going to begin reading at verse number 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear." Easy for him to say. Do not fear. Go and do as you said. But first, make me a cake of it. In other words, first, bake me a cake, lady. And bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son. In other words, whatever's left over. After you bake my cake first, then you go in and you make your son and yourself a little something to eat. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days, for the jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. What an amazing story. In the passage of scripture, the verses preceding what I read to you, we find that Elijah had prophesied against King Ahab, and he had to literally flee for his life. The Lord spoke to him and told him to go to the brook of Cherith and to dwell there. And the ravens would bring him food in the morning, and they would bring him sustenance in the evening, and he would drink from the brook Cherith. And after that brook dried up, then we find that he was coming to Zarephath. The Lord commanded him to go to Zarephath. And we pick up on the story there in verse number 8. After the Lord tells him to go to Zarephath, Elijah does just as the Lord instructed him to do. And he found a widow woman there. And she was at the gate of the city, the Bible records, and she was gathering sticks. You see, you have to put yourself in this setting. Israel was in a very severe drought, and all of the inhabitants there were in absolute great need. They had no food. They had limited water due to this drought. No means of much income and no hope. And when Elijah speaks to this widow woman after he approaches her, he says, "Hey, lady, give me a cup of water and a piece of bread." Now, I don't know about you, but as folks down here in the South, we would at least expect a good morning. We would at least expect maybe possibly good afternoon. "Good evening, my name is Elijah." Not just, "Hey, lady, give me a little water and a piece of bread." That's exactly what he did. He didn't give, much salutation, if you will. He just stepped right in and said, "I need some water and I need some bread." So you got to put yourself in her place. She's here, this little widow woman. She's out possibly in the heat of the day. She's gathering sticks to build a fire so that she can take her last bit of flour and her last bit of oil and prepare a final meal for her and her son, only to begin the torturous process of literally starving to death. Talk about hopeless. Come on, talk about feeling helpless. You're talking about a set of depressing circumstances, if you will. And in verse 13, Elisha then has the nerve and he has the audacity, this man of God, this prophet, to tell her, "Do not fear." I don't know about you, but I'd have looked at that man like he was slap fool crazy. Amen. I'd have looked at that man of God. I didn't care what kind of prophet he was. I'd have looked at him like, "This man has lost his ever-loving mind. Here I am about to make a little cake with a handful of flour and a little bit of oil. If you look at me, I would need more than a handful of flour to make this big boy a cake. Now, I would want a cake. I wouldn't want no little cake. It would take more than a handful of flour, amen, to fulfill the need that I would have." Amen. You can agree with me. I won't be offended. And this is all she has. This is all that she has left. And the prophet is telling her, "Do not fear." In other words, if you'll listen to the instruction that I'm about to give you, God's going to step in and he's going to work a miracle on your behalf. Come on, I'm telling somebody in this room today, sometimes life isn't fair, is it? Sometimes circumstances are beyond our control. Sometimes situations are so far-fetched that it seems like we can't find our way out of them. I'm here to remind and tell somebody today, if we would just follow the instruction of the Word of God, there's no telling what would happen in our lives, that God is still able to work a miracle on our behalf. Does anybody believe that on this July Sunday morning? If you do, why don't you clap your hands and give him just a little bit of praise? Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on with me now. Verse 16 or verse 13, he says, do not fear. But notice with me the instruction that he begins to give her. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as you said, but first what? You make me a cake. And then with what is left, you go and make, amen, something for you and your son to eat. Now let's look at this for just a moment. This woman had to think this man was absolutely nuts. You want me to take my last bit of oil? You want me to take this last handful of flour and cook you a cake and give it to you first? Apparently, you don't understand how critical this situation is, you crazy preacher. All I have is this small bit of oil. All I have is this little bit of flour to make my son and I a cake. And after we eat this cake, we will surely die because I have no way to come across any more ingredients to prepare any more food. I have no money. I have no resources. I have no job. My husband's gone. I'm a widow. I have no one to rely on. And you expect me to take the last two ingredients in my house, what I have left, and make you a cake and feed you first? Man, you crazy. I'm going to take my cake and run. No. Wow. Go make me a cake. That was basically his response. Now, if you pay very close attention to this woman, she is definitely the exception to most. I didn't say all. I don't want to be offensive. To every woman I've ever met. And I love you ladies. God bless you, each and every one. Don't want to get in trouble today. Especially my wife's with me. I'm not going to get in trouble today. She is absolutely, surely, and you must agree and concur, that she is absolutely a very rare breed. She didn't nut up at the prophet's instruction. She didn't catch some attitude out of the middle of nowhere, seemingly at his greedy request. She did the absolute opposite of what most sweet, lovely ladies would have done for sure. She goes in her house and she takes that handful of flour and she takes that last little bit of oil and she makes the man of God a cake and gives it and presents it to him first. And because, note this, underline this, and because of her obedience to Elijah's instruction, an absolute miracle from heaven was born and was given birth in her house because of what she did. The oil never ran out of her vessel. The jar remained full of flour. And I believe that I'm sitting here on this Sunday morning to simply remind somebody under the sound of my voice that there's something to be said about simple obedience to the word of the Lord. Come on, when it doesn't seem fair, when it
doesn't even feel right, when it doesn't make sense at all, you simply obey the word of God anyway. You respond and do what the word says. You act when it's time to act. Amen. You step out when it's time to step out, and you watch God work the miraculous in your life. I wonder how many people walked into this house this morning needing an absolute miracle from heaven to step into your situation, to step into your house, to step into your body. How many would be honest today and say, I need something so desperately from heaven today? Come on. How many would say that when I woke up this morning, when I got my clothes on and I cranked my car and I began to come to the house of God, there was something in the depths of my spirit that said, oh, I need a miracle from heaven this morning. Oh, I need Jesus to step in to my situation. Oh, I need Jesus to work in my family. Oh, I need God to work out a financial situation for me. I have some advice for you today. Bake him a cake. Take what you have left. Come on. Take what little bit of faith you have left. Take what little bit of ingredients you have left. And make up in your mind, I'm going to obey his voice. I'm going to obey his word. I'm going to defy all the odds, and I'm going to set myself up through my faith for an absolute, unadulterated miracle from heaven. Does anybody in this room still believe that your God is a miracle working God? Come on now, that he's still a healer, that he's still a provider, that he is still a way maker. Does anybody still believe that word today? Why don't you clap your hands and give him a little bit of praise right now? Come on, somebody shout yes. If you believe it, shout yes. Hallelujah. 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 You must learn. It's a very tough lesson. But you must learn to trust God no matter how things appear around you. Things don't always appear the way you desire them to. Things don't always look like what you desire for them to look like. Guess what, honey? The odds aren't always stacked in our favor. But that's all right. Because of the God we serve, because of the spirit that is living on the inside of us, the odds don't have to be stacked in my favor, baby, because I serve a God that is still able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I'm able to ask or even think. Does anybody believe that on this Sunday morning? Clap your hands and shout yes. Come on, clap your hands and shout yes. I still believe that word today. I so happen to agree and believe that Job said it best when he declared, after losing everything that he had, after losing all of his wealth, after losing all of his property, his houses, and most importantly, after losing his very own children, his family, what words did he utter? He simply said this, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Honey, that's the key right there. When all hell is coming against you, when there's problems and turmoil at every hand, though he slay me, I've still got enough faith. I still have enough confidence in him. I will trust him. I'll trust him. Come on, I've been in some situations before when it seemed like my back was against the wall and there was this pressure, there was problems, there was situation. It seemed like it was consuming me and it was just caving me in and surrounding me. Come on, I've been there. Come on, I've been in some nasty stuff. Come on, I've been in some situations when it seemed like you couldn't even breathe because it just seemed like the very life was being suffocated out of you. It just seemed like the enemy had his nasty grip. Amen. Just had his hands around your neck, choking the very spiritual life out of you. I'm preaching to somebody here this morning. I'm speaking into somebody's life today. Come on, fear not. God is still able. Put your faith back in him. Put your trust back in him. And I promise you, amen, he will work a miracle in your situation today. God, I wish we would receive this morning. I want to show you something I think will help us. Miracles, you read through the Word of God, whether in the Old or New Testament. Miracles instruction go hand in hand in God's Word. The vast majority of times when you read about a miracle taking place in the Word of the Lord, divine instruction precedes the miraculous. Divine instruction comes prior to the supernatural. Amen. Cases in point. When Moses led the children of Israel out of the Egyptian bondage of over 400 and some odd years, the first obstacle they ran into was a Red Sea. No bridges, no barges, no boats. Amen. No cruise line. No way around it. Egyptian army hot on their heels, ready to destroy them. And the ones they didn't destroy, they'd bring them back into captivity. Instruction came. Did it make much sense? Absolutely not. But instruction came. Moses, stretch forth your rod. Then the Red Sea parted. The children of Israel marched around the walls of Jericho. How many times? How many times? Seven times. They marched around. They received instruction. And after they completed the divine instruction that was given unto them, then and only then did the walls collapse to the ground. Naaman, if you will, very notable man, diseased with leprosy. He was given instruction to do what? Not just go to church. No. Go down and dip in the nasty Jordan River seven times. Get down there, you important man. Get down in that nasty mud and muck and you dip, baptize yourself, boy, seven times. He did. He took what? That divine instruction. And what happened? He was made whole. The lame man, all heard and read and heard preached about the lame man. He was directed to what? Take up his own bed. Notice something with me. Here's this lame man, can't walk. His bed was basically this, probably just a few blankets rolled up. That was his bed. Now here he is, possibly laying on the ground. I didn't think he was laying up on an actual bed. He was probably laying on the ground. He couldn't walk, possibly just sitting there. And he is commanded to take up his bed and walk. You know what he had to do? He had to slide over off his sheet and pillows or whatever he was on, roll his bed up. See, that took faith to even do that with everybody watching him. Because he always just laid there. But he took that divine instruction and he stepped out on faith, so to speak. And what did he do? His feet, his ankle bones, his body received strength. Something began to happen in his muscles. And he was able to what? Stand up, pick up that bed, put it under his arm, and he began to walk. I don't think he just walked. I think he began to run. I think he began to rejoice. Why? A miracle happened in his situation because he responded to divine instruction that he received. Come on, I'm going somewhere, I promise you. We're already off. We're going to land here thing in just a minute.
We're not going to go to here, but Luke chapter 6, 6 through 10. This is homework. But go with me now. Go with me now. We're going to ease into the synagogue. We're going to ease into the back corner, back in the dark somewhere. You know, sometimes we kind of want to sneak in. Here was this man with a withered hand. And because of the law that they were under, he was not even supposed to come to the house of God because of his deformity. He was deformed. It's nothing he'd done. He'd possibly born that way. But he had a deformed, withered hand. Now you have to look at this man's case. Here he was. He couldn't just come in like everybody else. He had to conceal that deformity. I didn't wear long sleeves for a reason, but no, it was the right hand. The Bible said it was the right hand. I'm sorry, I don't know my left or my right. He had to conceal that deformed hand. I would imagine he possibly would wait till, you know, after the singing was over. Kind of after everybody was sitting down, and he probably just eased on in that back corner where nobody would pay close attention. And here he was, just trying to get in the presence of God. Jesus is up teaching. Jesus is preaching. Jesus is giving words of life. Jesus is giving words of peace and comfort. He's ministering to those in need, those people that are in such desperate need, that need hope so desperately. Jesus knows he's there. But also the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all them other ones were there. And they wanted to see what Jesus would do. They knew that man was there. But possibly because he concealed his deformity and hid it so well and just sneaked in, they just allowed him to ease on in and ease on out. But what did Jesus tell that man to do? He knew that man was in a desperate situation. He had a withered hand. He couldn't even provide for himself. He couldn't work a job. He probably couldn't even receive income at all because of his condition. He was in a hopeless, helpless situation. What does Jesus do? Jesus throws him under the bus. He says, "Stretch forth your hand." And if you really think about it, really wasn't too nice, was it? He could have possibly eased up after service, you know? Just eased up there and just, "Hey, I know you're here. I know you come to listen to the word. I know you have a need in your life. I'm going to touch that hand. I'm going to see." He could have done that. He was Jesus. What did he do? "Stretch forth thine hand." Expose that thing that you're trying to conceal and hide and see what I do with it. So he stretched forth his hand. He received the divine instruction that was going to cause him problems. He received that divine instruction, if you will, that was exposing his weakness. Sometimes the instructions that God will give us will expose us, will expose our problems, will expose our weaknesses. But even in those times, when you still have enough faith, when you're just desperate enough to go against the odds and say, "I can tell you what, Jesus, if you can do something with this hand, here it is." He exposed that withered hand, and what happened? He was made whole because of the faith and the courage that he had to receive that divine instruction from the Lord. Come on, put your hands together and love him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm preaching today about having the right ingredients for a miracle. Everyone under the sound of my voice, the Bible says
that you are given the measure of faith. What that means and what is interpreted by that statement is simply this. We're all given the same amount of faith because the Bible says it's the measure, whatever the measure is. Now, what we do with that faith, whether we use it, whether we abuse it, or whether we hide it, whatever we do with that faith determines what we receive, the magnitude, the breadth, the height, whatever the depth of our miracles, or what we receive from God. If you don't use your faith, guess what? You'll sit there and be discouraged all day long. You'll come in next week discouraged. You'll be here next month discouraged, and nothing good will ever happen in your life. And you know, God did it, and he just don't love me. You know, you'll always have those excuses when you don't use your faith. But you know, there's something when you begin to exercise that faith. When you begin to say, you know what? Things may not be going the way I want them to go at this very moment, but sometimes we need to put a little but in our life. Is that plain enough? But I understand and I know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, that God is able to do all things, that he has no weaknesses, that he has no limitations other than what I place on him. Come on with me. It's time we shake ourselves, and I'm going to borrow a phrase I heard last Sunday, and let God be God, not only in our lives, not only in our families, but in this house of God. And I'm telling you, miracles, signs, and wonders will follow, and this place will become so powerful that you won't be able to keep people out of this house. Come on, I would to God somebody would believe that word today. That's the will of God. Come on, it's the will of God for there be so many miracles that you can't even record them all. Well, three of us believe it. I'll take three. John chapter 11, verse 38 through 44. Then Jesus, again groaning within himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave. A stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Wait a minute, Jesus. There's a dead man behind that stone. There's a dead man in that cave that stone is sealing and keeping that, you know, that stuff out. Jesus says, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to Jesus, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the very glory of God?" So they took the stone away, good for them, from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said this, that they would believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." He who was dead, think about it, his hands and his feet wrapped up in grave clothes, his face was even wrapped in a cloth, he couldn't see what was going on. Jesus loosed him by his word, and then Jesus said, of course, to him, after this man hopped out, "Unbind him and let him go." Now consider with me, Lazarus, dead for days, smelling really, really bad. I don't know about you, but I don't like things that smell bad. I guess some of you do. You just sit, you know, look. I don't like smelly things. I love seafood, but man, it stinks. Man, you can walk in some places that sell it, walk in a market. Oh, good God, have mercy. Jesus, you have to hold your nose just to buy those shrimp. They're good, but they stink. Come on. Here they are.
He's calling a dead man out, been there dead 4 days. He's smelling really bad. Everybody knew that he was going to smell bad. But here's a little side note. Jesus calls him out. Lazarus comes forth. Now notice this. Jesus even gives instruction to the dead and they obey his voice. What's our excuse? I didn't mean that to burn, but it lit me up the other day. Jesus has enough power to speak to those things that are dead, and they can respond. If the dead can respond to the call of God, I'm going to get down here with you. If the dead can respond to the word of the Lord, how is it that you and I can have an excuse not to respond to what the word of the Lord says and tells us to do? I believe that every one of us, under the sound of my voice today, there's people that have walked in here with desperate needs and situations in their life. I believe if you would take the divine instruction that comes from his word, that your pastor's been preaching, that you've been hearing coming over that pulpit, if you would take that word and plant it in your heart and act upon those words, come on, I believe that miracles, signs and wonders, healing, deliverance, provision, amen, will come to this place like you've never witnessed it before. Does anybody believe that on this Sunday morning? Come on, clap your hands and give him praise. There's just something about when the odds are stacked against us to just absolutely believe anyway, to have faith anyway. So when you are in need of an absolute true miracle from heaven, when you know you don't have a way to fix it, see, our reaction is to fix it. Our reaction is to what? Run and correct it real quick before it gets out of hand. But when we get to the place to where it's beyond our control, come on with me. Maybe, think about this. Maybe we should first, rather than seek the miracle, seek the instruction first. Think about it. Rather than us begging God for a miracle, act upon the instruction that he's given. Because the instruction is what's going to set you up for the supernatural. Why do you think your dear pastor, man, I love so dearly. Man, I've known this guy almost 30 years. Man, I've always loved this guy. This guy can preach. Man, I was a nervous wreck getting up here. What you get to listen to, my God. I know the kind of word he preaches. Because I get the podcast and I listen. It feeds my soul. I know the instruction that comes from that man of God that God has so just eloquently just placed here and so miraculously placed here. You didn't know him. But he placed him here for a divine purpose. To give what? Divine instruction from heaven. And that's exactly where it comes from. And when that divine instruction comes, we have then a choice to make. Whether we react or reject. But honey, when that man's preaching the word of God, when you react by your acceptance through your faith and you step out and you believe and you know that God's able, come on,
It's not going to be too many more days until your finances turn around. It's not going to be too many more days, come on with me, until that body begins to correct itself through that preached word, through that divine instruction, through your obedience. You can receive miracles that you've been longing for years. Come on, you ought to clap your hands. Come on, some of you, the situation that you're in, you ought to lift your voice and say, I know the odds are against me. I know people don't think it can happen, but I know my God is able. Good God, have mercy. Some of you raised your hands before we walked in, or when we walked in here today. Right after I got up here, I said, if you are in a desperate situation and need something from heaven and you believe God can meet you at the point of that need today, I want you to slip your hands back up. Come on, hands all over this room. So what you're saying is you have so much confidence in the ability of your God. Keep those hands up. You have so much confidence in the ability of your God today. Somebody say it with me. Today. Not next week, not next month, not next quarter. Today. Say it again. Today. Look over at your neighbor and tell them today. Tell them. Some of you, come on. You got more nasty going on than you want to admit. I know it's bad on some of you. You need to get desperate for God. Look at them and say today. Come on, get some fortitude about you today. Come on, get some faith stirred in this house. Today, God is able to step up to the point of my need. I'm going to respond to his word, and I'm going to receive a miracle in my life today. You know, sometimes we need to square our shoulders and bow up at the enemy sometimes and say, Cat, you better get back, because God's supposed to work on my behalf right now. Come on, clap your hands anyway. Believe with me anyway. Come on, you're going to make me work this morning. I'm trying to tie this thing up. Those of you that absolutely believe that within 14 days, 2 weeks, now I'm going to make you step out. You say, well, it don't happen. It's not on me. I got my own stuff to deal with, baby. It's not on me. See, I've been doing this long enough. Now, at first, when I was a young evangelist, we'd go out and preach revivals. Man, I took it personal when somebody wasn't healed. It wasn't me. I wasn't the one doing the healing. I'm just the one doing the encouraging. I'm just the one building faith. And you know what? It's not going to happen in your time frame. But some of us can get so bold with our confidence in God and so bold with our faith. Now, the Bible says, speak to the things that are not as though they were. I believe you can have a miracle in your own mouth here today. I believe you can speak miracles in this house today. I believe you can speak miracles in your home today. I believe you can speak miracles in your finances today. I believe all these things that happened in your life today. Why? God hadn't gone out of business. I haven't seen no going out of business sign on heaven. I haven't looked up any time lately saying going out of business. I don't think he's having a liquidation sale. Come on. Those hands that went up. Desperate situations. Desperate needs. Come on. As the singers come back up, as the musicians come back up, whatever they do, this is what I want us to do. If you absolutely 110% believe and have enough confidence in your God to think and know that he could work on your behalf starting right now, this is where you have to do this. It's always that first step that's just, yeah. It's always that first step that the devil throws that obstacle right there. He just, you know, that little blockade. He's not going to do it. You've been asking for, you know, 7 months. You've been asking for 10 years. He hadn't done it yet. Maybe you hadn't responded to the instruction yet. This is what I want us to do. As they're getting ready. What is this word challenging you to do right now in regards to that miracle that you are in need of today?
as we're standing in this house. What is God wanting to do? Let's stand together. What is God wanting to do in your family right now? What do you desire for God to do? Let me ask it that way. What have you been asking God to do? What have you been praying? What have you been shedding tears over? Almost begging God to do in your life as of late. What is it? Do you realize when we present a need to our God, His knees don't start shaking together? He doesn't feel overtaken or consumed by intimidation, none whatsoever. No. You know what He's saying? Come on, respond to my word. Come on, take that first step. Come on, I know there's obstacles. I know there's snares. I know there's traps. Just if you would just listen to my word and listen to my instruction, if you'll just let me direct your steps, I can bring you straight to me, where I can reach in and begin to work in your life. I feel the sweet spirit of the Holy Ghost moving in this room right now. I know how to entertain the Spirit of God. You know what you're doing. Nobody has to coach you. I want you to, in yourself, begin to entertain the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost that's in this room right now. I want you to just begin into yourself. Just begin to say, today. And Jaretta, I believe there's an absolute healing going to come into your body. You're not just going to be healed. You're going to be made absolutely whole of the condition that you've been fighting with for however long. I speak that word in faith. I don't even know what your condition is. It's none of my business. But I speak it in faith. Father, right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are the one that said in your word that with your stripes we were healed. You spoke it in that way. You spoke it for a reason. When those stripes were laid on your back, there were stripes that were laid there for Andretta's wholeness and healing. Right now, I speak it. I believe it. I declare it right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would anybody just begin to thank God on credit for what He is doing and what He is doing in this body right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can somebody just lift your voice and give Him praise and glory on credit right now? He's able.